for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the One Pridecast. Welcome into another edition of the One Pridecast. I'm Tori Petrie, back from the bye week, and sitting across from me is Lomas Brown. Lomas, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey. Yeah, I'm feeling refreshed, too, after the bye week, too,
I know,
Tori.
Right? Yes. It was so rejuvenating. It was time to rest and recover, and we're back here ready to go.
Yeah, I felt like a player again, you know, just to get the rest and just rejuvenate the body. But, yeah, it was great to get a little off, a couple of days off, and watch everybody else play football.
I know. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it was great.
Well, our Gators had a pretty good weekend.
Ooh, yeah, raise the roof. Go Gators, baby. Yeah.
They did. Played Auburn.
Oh.
Big win.
Yes.
College game day was there.
Yes. Homecoming.
It was homecoming. It made me so nostalgic for Gainesville, watching college game day there in Gainesville. Like, it was amazing.
Now, see, Tori, the campus is a little different from me from back in the 80s.
This is true.
But I still get a little nostalgic every time I see Florida Field, the Swamp. It just brings back great memories.
It does.
It really does. Yeah. And it was so hot, too, Tori. It was warm down there. That to our advantage, because, you know, we used to like it like that, get them teams down there to the heat. But it was just great to see all the people there, all the fans there, and everybody had a wonderful time.
And College Game Day's following Florida up to Baton Rouge next week.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. That's the thing about the SEC. You really don't get too many days or games off, especially once you start getting into the SEC portion of it. I mean, it's one after the other after the other, so it's a tough schedule they're going through.
Meanwhile, the people who are listening to us who are here for Lions content and are like, okay, are you done talking about the Gators? And then you start talking about the SEC, and they're like, whoa,
right,
we're
Big Ten people around
here. They're not having any of our SEC talk. Well, guess what, guys? Sorry, you have to listen to our Gator talk, because this is legitimately Lomas and I catching up for the week.
Absolutely.
So, of course, we have to talk about it.
And okay, Tori, it was a nice win by Michigan. That was a big win. They needed
after the
Wisconsin game. They needed to bounce back with a nice win. And I didn't think they were going to beat Iowa. Tough team. They went up and beat Iowa. So Michigan seems to be getting things on track. You know, we'll throw a little love to the Big Ten.
Sparty fans, though, on the other side, maybe not so great of a weekend for you guys. Yeah. Sorry for bringing it up. All right, that's our college football recap.
That's it.
It's fun, though, because, you know, sometimes Saturdays we're traveling to road games. You don't get to watch the whole game. You might catch some of it on the plane. You might catch some of it once you get to whatever town you're in. But, you know, it's different for us to, like, sit back and actually, like, enjoy football for the weekend instead of, you know, being running around getting ready for a Sunday game. And it's especially weird to just sit on the couch and see football on Sunday.
I know. That is true. It was kind of weird doing that. A good weird.
I got to say, I enjoy taking a little bit of a break from
it.
I got to watch my Gators.
There you go.
I watch Sunday night football because, you know, it's just fun to just be around the house on a Sunday night.
Right.
You turn on Sunday night football. Like, it just makes sense. But I took a nice little break from it, went to church on Sunday, which is great. You know, don't get to do that during the football season because we're at the stadium so early in the morning. So, you know, used my Sunday a little bit differently this week, which was nice. And kind of get to do it again next week before heading to Green Bay.
That is true. You're right about that. And I got a chance to watch Green Bay and Dallas play. So I watched Green Bay. So that was one of the things I say I wanted to do on the Sunday. So watch them play them and, you know, just relax. And also my little grandson, he had a game. They got beat down, though, Tori. It wasn't a very good end to it, but they had their homecoming game. So he's 9 years old. So, so it was good to see that. Yeah.
Now, is this your grandson that came out to training
camp with you? Yes, he is.
All right.
Yes, Kamari. Hey.
Yes, I got to meet Kamari during training camp.
Yes. So it was good, but a good weekend, but a tough opponent once we start talking about this Green Bay team, because I got a chance to watch them, so it's going to be a tough game.
Okay, well, we're going to get all your thoughts on that during the podcast. Don't worry, guys. We will talk about more than just the bye week and college football, but this is our chance to do so. What else did you do with your bye week?
Let's see. I went to what restaurant? Oh, I went to Capitol Grill and ate there.
Okay.
That was a good meal.
Stuff.
Yeah, it was a good stuff. They fed the big fellow real well there, Tori. Yeah, that was good to do that. Also, I almost stopped by one of your places, which is a cider mill. That's her favorite place during
favorite.
This time of the year. I almost.
And you didn't?
I know, Tor, and the wheel was pulling me. It was telling me to turn
I
over there.
I hope you heard my voice in your head being like, go for the donuts.
I know, man. Every time I think about them, I think about you, especially the warm ones with some cider, man. Oh, my God. The glands are acting up right now as we talk.
When you see the trees turning yellow, yes, and orange, you just get in the mood for some donuts.
Yes.
And
oh, my God.
It is so good.
They're so addictive,
they
too. Because you can't just eat one.
Uh-uh.
No, you just can't do one. I'm sorry.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely had some cider mill donuts over the weekend. I went to a wedding on Friday night, which, very wise of the bride and groom to have a fall wedding on a Friday.
I respect it.
Doesn't conflict with college football, so good for them. We had a great time. It was really fun. Then kind of had a low-key rest of the weekend. Like I said, went to church on Sunday. Didn't do anything too crazy besides going to the wedding, but I did make some of my own fall treats, and I made gluten-free, dairy-free pumpkin muffins.
Oh.
And they were very good.
Were they very good?
They were amazing.
Okay.
I loved them.
All right.
I actually had some of them with me here at the office this morning, but I already ate them all. So I'm sorry, Little Miss. I should have brought you on.
See, I can't be a witness to how good they are because they're all gone right now.
I know. I know you guys, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking gluten-free, dairy-free. Why would I want to eat that?
You know, I was kind of thinking that.
I know it. I know it, but they're very good.
Okay. I'm going to have to take your word on that. And maybe one day I'm going to sample these and I will let the world know how these dairy-free, gluten-free muffins are.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit of a health nerd in those kinds of ways. But I make exceptions for gluten when it comes to cider donuts. I will eat those.
There it is. See, everybody has their breaking point, and her breaking point is the cider donuts.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Just one recap from the wedding. Were you one? Did you dive at the bouquet? Were you one? Did you see that one picture with her?
Yes, the OBJ style.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did not catch the bouquet.
You didn't catch the bouquet.
Not.
Okay.
But fun
right.
times were had.
Okay.
It was a great wedding.
Yes.
And,
okay.
You know. Love celebrating love.
You know, we always have to get the details of what goes on.
I know.
So that's good.
I'll work on my catching skills for the next wedding, for sure. Well, I think people have probably had enough of me talking about donuts and weddings and the Gators. So let's actually talk about some Lions here at Lomas.
Okay.
We haven't chatted since before the Kansas City game. We kind of took a little week off for the bye week. Rest, recover, just like the players did. But now we're back, so I know it was a while back, but what were your thoughts on the way the Lions played in that Kansas City game?
I was very proud of them, even though to a man, nobody said it was a moral victory, but I looked at it as a moral victory. Nobody thought they would keep the game as close as they did, at least the pundits, and I probably was one of the pundits. I thought how they handled Patrick Mahomes was very good. I think they probably laid out a blueprint for other teams to follow these next couple of games.
Oh, I think I've heard that somewhere before, of the Lions laying out a blueprint.
Absolutely. I mean, they did a phenomenal job of stopping him, so it was just great to see that. Offense is moving the ball, the O-line still protecting Matthew Stafford, which is the key. You know, again, Torrey, if we could just put up 7 points when we get the opportunity to, I think it would make things run a little smoother. I thought the penalties were down some, even though we had a couple of killers. But it was just, like it always does, it comes down to a couple of plays each and every game. And you know the biggest one I'm talking about, which was the 100-yarder that went against us. So it's just a shame that it comes down to a few plays that can turn a game one way or the other way.
Definitely. And I'm with you on taking advantage of scoring opportunities and scoring 7 instead of settling for field goals. You hear me talk about this on the podcast all the time. It's like one of my pet peeves to see a team get into the red zone and only be able to kick a field goal. It's tough to watch, but it happens sometimes.
Yes.
And I do think, though, that maybe that aggressiveness might have worked against them a little bit in that game against Kansas City, because they got in that red zone and felt so desperate. We got to score here. We got to keep up with this high-powered offense we're playing against, that, you know, Matthew tried to be a little bit too aggressive, you know, when he fumbled. Kerryon tried to be a little bit too aggressive with reaching, and that ended up costing them and turning the ball over. And in one of those cases, it ended up being a pretty big swing for them. So I can also see where sometimes it does get the better of you when you're trying to be too aggressive, and I think maybe there was a little bit of that.
No, that's a great point, because guys do feel like they have to make a play. They want to be the ones to make a play for the team, and they feel that responsibility. So that is a great point. I know it was extra effort on what Kerryon was doing. And like you say, Matthew was just buying time trying to get out of trouble when he had his fumble. So it was extra effort plays, and as a coach, you don't mind those, you know, because the guys are really making the effort to try to make a big play for the game. But again, like I said, it just comes down to the one or two plays that can really change the game. And unfortunately, you know, they went against us, especially later in the game in Kansas City. So it'd have been a great opportunity for us to knock them off instead of somebody else knocking them off. But they played well. They really did.
Yeah, I think Lions fans, though, going into the bye, I mean, just from kind of what I gathered from people I talked Lions football with over the bye, people were pretty satisfied with that outcome. Now, obviously, everybody would have loved to have won the game.
Right.
But to see the Lions keep up with Kansas City in that way, I think Lions fans were like, okay, all right, maybe we'll take this team seriously right now because they're keeping up with some of the best in the league.
Absolutely.
And so the vibe I got is that people are, you know, their ears are perked up when it comes to the Lions. At least that's what I heard over the bye.
No, I agree. And I think what it did, though, Tori, I think it puts a lot more expectations on this game coming up. I think people
expect. Sure, and it should.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all for naught if you keep up with Kansas City and then you can't win in your division.
Exactly.
Because a game like Kansas City gets people paying attention to you. And then they just start believing in you, and then you got to keep delivering on
Absolutely.
It. So obviously, keeping up with Kansas City doesn't look as good when, you know, you're not able to deliver on it the following week. But here's my question for you. Kansas City obviously ended up losing this past week to the Colts. Does that game that they had against Kansas City look any less impressive now that Kansas City's been beat?
No, not to me, because we know what type of team Kansas City have, and I think we know where they're going to be at towards the end of the season, which is maybe in the AFC Championship game, probably going up against the Patriots. So we know the type of team that they have, the type of quarterback that they have, the type of weapons, the type of coach. So I think it was a great I wouldn't use the word great, but I think it was a good learning mechanism for this team to know that we just got to be able to finish games. That's the biggest thing now, is just learning how to finish. Finish the Arizona game. Finish this game, you know. And it makes a big difference if we learn how to finish these games.
Now, I think we can look at those games and be like, okay, I see you guys. I see, you know, see what you're doing. You're putting some good work out there. But I don't think the team looked at that game and said, all right, we kept up with Kansas City, go us.
Now,
but you don't want them to think
that.
You want them to think, man, we almost had that game, and, you know, we're pretty frustrated that we didn't, so we're going to come back from the bye and, you know, really get after it because we're mad.
Absolutely. And you could show now, Tori, Monday night game. So now you could show the nation, the people that didn't see you against Kansas City, now they get an opportunity to see you against a divisional rival opponent like Green Bay on Monday night TV. So it's a great opportunity for the team, for the organization to put out there what type of team we have and what type of team we're going to be for the rest of the season.
Show your Lions pride by going authentic with gear from shop.detroitlions.com. For a vast selection of t-shirts, hats, jerseys, and novelties, with convenient flat rate shipping right to your doorstep, visit shop.detroitlions.com, your 24/7 home for Lions gear.
Then let's switch gears. Let's talk about that Green Bay game. You said you watched Green Bay last week over the bye, got to see them play against Dallas. What were your impressions of them?
I mean, I was impressed. And, of course, Green Bay has Dallas' number. For some reason, they're able to beat Dallas. I think they're maybe like 8-1 or something like that against Dallas. So they do have Dallas's number. But it was just how physical they were, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That, you know, everybody talked about how they improved and how they went and spent money and draft choices on the defense side of the ball, and it's really shown. It really has in these games that they play, especially in the second half of their second part of their defense, the secondary. They've been playing very well, but they're getting more and more aggressive up front with their front seven guys, the front down linemen and the linebackers. So they're starting to become Martinez. He's one of the linebackers, very good linebacker that they have. So they got a formidable defense that I do think our wide receivers can have some success against them. But again, we're going to have to really game plan and then really go at their defense, especially the secondary. But they got a good team. And, of course, they got number 12 on the offensive side of the ball. To me, you know, he makes everything work. But if we look at him like I do Torrey, I look at him kind of like, or I look at Patrick Mahomes kind of like Aaron Rodgers, guy like to get out in the pocket, ab lib, try to get the ball downfield. So if we could defense Aaron Rodgers the way we did with Patrick Mahomes, I think we could have a lot of success, because to me, those two guys are kind of similar with how they try to play quarterback.
Then you have Green Bay's running game, which really got off the ground yes. against the Cowboys. What was working for them there, and how did the Lions stop it?
I know. And basically, it was a lot of things that I seen where it was a lot of the defensive linemen for the Cowboys, they weren't where they needed to be at. A lot of runs were cut back. They were cut back design. So that means that your guys on the backside have to have their gap integrity. They can't get out of the gap. They got to be where they have to be at, or that's what's going to happen. The running back going to get two ways to go, either front side or backside. And I've seen a lot of that happen, and I also seen a lot of missed tackles. So he's a guy that you're going to have to really wrap up or get a lot of bodies or helmets on that guy too, because I didn't see him come down, or I didn't see one guy get him down consistently enough. So that helped. Them not being gap integrity with their gap integrity, and also not tackling well, is what helped lead to that good running day that they had.
Then defensively, they look like they're better on defense than they have been
yes.
in recent years.
Yes, they are. And Aaron Rodgers has said that over and over again. He said he finally has a defense. So, and you just don't know, that empowers the offense. It really does. When you have a good defense that you know that if you have any mistakes, they're going to be able to cover up for you, then you could be even a little bit more risky on the offensive side of the ball. And I think Aaron Rodgers realizes that with the type of defense that he has. So he's sitting in a good position. Green Bay is sitting in a good position right now with the way they played in the first couple of games. But again, I like the way we come off this Kansas City game. I think the guys in this locker room are hungry, and I think they want to beat Green Bay to know that we are the team in this division to beat. I think you have to beat the Green Bay at Lambeau to really prove that to yourself.
Is it real that guys get hyped up for these primetime games to play
oh, yeah.
on national television?
Oh, yeah. Torrey, you have your little boy, you have your high school friends calling you. Yeah, man, I can't wait for the game to come on. You got, man, everybody knows the game. And, of course, if you got a bad game, woo, you're going to hear about it, man. Everybody's going to blow you up about either a good game or a bad game. So you know everybody is watching that game. And that's what I used to keep that in the back of my mind the whole time I was playing this game. Like, look, the whole nation is watching this game. So either I got to play real good today if I want my name to be out there. This opportunity to take your name from obscurity to being out there in the national limelight. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. Yeah, I used to love Monday night. And then you sit around all day long. It's just a different routine to everything. You're sitting around all day long waiting for the game. Everybody else has played the day before. And you just, it's just a whole different routine that makes that just a wonderful experience.
I love it. I love that perspective of
yeah.
it. Now, if the Lions win on Monday night, what should the conversation turn to
wow.
about this team?
Well, that's a great question. See, it's too early to crown them, but I tell you what, man, if they were to win, so that would be a win, an early win over Green Bay at Green Bay. I mean, Tori, you would have to say Lions have to be considered in the one of the top, I would think, one of the top five teams in the NFC, at least on our side. If you're talking about beating them, I could see them talking in the conversation because they're already talking about Green Bay, debating whether Green Bay is one of the top teams in the NFC. So if the Lions beat them, then you have to put the Lions in that debate to whether they're one of the top five teams in the NFC.
Well, you would think. Sometimes nationally they don't get the respect that, you know, people locally think they might deserve. But we'll see if they do win this game on a national stage against a divisional opponent. I think that people might start to pay attention.
I think so. After playing Kansas City close, then you be the Aaron Rodgers, you know, and the Green Bay team that's playing pretty hot. You lost two games. And really, you know, I keep calling that tie loss, but you shouldn't have lost that one. So, So, no, you're right. They would have to – I mean, look at the other teams in the NFC, Tori. So, if you look at the other teams, like I guess they talk about Philadelphia maybe as one of the other teams. You know, so it's not a lot of teams that I think that you could really rank above Detroit if we could win Green Bay at Green Bay.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Well, if Lomas sounds extra smart and sophisticated today, it's because he came in looking extra smart and sophisticated. Lomas is sporting some glasses today.
I've been fighting it, people. I've been fighting it for a year, you know.
You do what you got to do, and I think you look so sophisticated.
Okay,
he's got on
Tori.
A trendy pair of glasses. Like, he looks very stylish.
See, Tori's making me feel so good. Thank you, Tori.
So, if you see Lomas out and about, or if you see pictures of him at the game on Monday night, you're like, oh, who's that guy in the glasses? I'm just warning you guys ahead of time to be looking out for Lomas in the glasses and how sophisticated he is now.
Okay, so I might have a cup of tea with me. Tori saying I'm looking so sophisticated now.
I'm glad you're not too sophisticated for the podcast.
No, I'm not. Never, Tori. I'll take the glasses off before I become too sophisticated for the podcast.
Well, Lomas, it's always fun having you. Thank you, and we'll see you in Green Bay.
Okay.